Brethren, my assignment is to give an exposition of two passages of Scripture. One from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The other from the pen of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. What I would like to do this morning is to read both of the passages of Scripture before we begin our discussion. Now, one comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul, and of course we know that Paul wrote primarily to the Gentile progression of thought. The other comes from the Apostle Peter, and we know that Peter, for the most part, wrote to the Jewish progression of thought. But brethren, we need to remember one thing. Regardless of who the assigned penman was for this information, the author of all of this information is God. But regardless of whether we're coming from a Gentile background or a Jewish background, which is all there is, regardless of the background that we're approaching our text from, we need to remember that the information is identical. Regardless of how we read it, well, we need to read it correctly. Jesus said we can know the truth. We can know what God wants here. But regardless of the background with which we read it, we need to remember this is God speaking to us. This is not opinion. This is God speaking. First of all, Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Very familiar passage. Paul writes, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." 1 Peter 3, I want to read just verse 1 and 2, almost as familiar. Peter writes, "Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they," now that would be the husbands, "while they behold your chaste conversation." Another translation says, "the purity and reverence of your life. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Now, brethren, I believe it is essential for us this morning to understand the concept of submission. The assignment would do us no good whatsoever if we do not understand the concept, if we do not understand why God is so interested in the facts that wives are to submit to their husbands. To do this, we need to see what submission is. And at the same time, and equally true, we also need to see what submission is not. Now, I have been told that the word that is translated into our Bible, submission, or from that root word, to submit, is a military term. And it actually refers to military ranking. Now, I've never been in the military, but I know, like you, that there are certain degrees of military status or rank that a person can achieve. There are generals, there are admirals on one end of the ranking system, and then there are privates on the other ranking system, the end of the ranking system. To submit literally means to choose not to rank yourself above someone else. But this is your own choice. You make the choice to submit. You make the choice to rank yourself or position yourself beyond or under someone else. Now, some soldiers don't aspire to be generals or admirals. Some soldiers are happy being privates. But the point is, it's their choice, and also they don't make an issue of it. Now, the context of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is talking about being filled with the Spirit. This is the whole context of the chapter, being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, we will speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And being filled with the Spirit, we will give thanks to God always for all things. And being filled with the Spirit, we will submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now that's verses 19, 20, and 21. Brethren, I don't see how this can be confusing to anyone. I don't see how anyone can read this plain and simple passage and become confused. Brethren, verse 19, Paul is talking about worship. In verse 20, he's talking about expressing our gratitude to God. And in verse 21, he's talking about being filled with the Spirit by submitting to one another, ranking ourselves under another. Brethren, if I counted correctly, these are the 10 simplest words in the New Testament. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Choosing, making the choice to esteem someone even above yourself. choosing to rank yourself, to submit yourself, to be in submission to someone else. Humbling ourselves in the presence of each other. Humbling ourselves in the presence of God. And also humbling ourselves in the presence of God's Word. And not making an issue of it. The same penman, Paul, writes in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, and says, "In humility of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." He says, "Look not every man upon his own things." Don't worry only about yourself, but also look upon the things of others. And then he adds, and I think this is the punctuation to it all. He says, "This is the mind of Christ." This is the mind of Christ. To look out for other people. To seek their best. To show humility. To humble yourself. As Jesus always did. Now brethren, this is the concept of submission. This is what we need to understand. Jesus teaches humility, not selfishness. He teaches humility, not arrogance. Humility, submission, not demanding our own way. Now, I almost hate to admit this, but I was watching Geraldo Rivera not long ago. If I didn't know for a fact that Jerry watches that 5 days a week, I would be embarrassed to say I did. But I was watching Geraldo Rivera, and the theme of the entire program was short marriages. They introduced a couple that had only been married for 3 months, and they got a divorce. Another couple was introduced. They were married for 2 weeks. And got a divorce. But the highlight of the program, which I believe was really a low light of the program, was when they introduced a couple that filed for a divorce the same day of their wedding. It seems that the bride saw her husband, her new husband, talking over here with a former girlfriend, and she got so mad, she left the reception and went and filed for divorce that very day. Now, brethren, God wants marriages to last. From the beginning, it has been so. Jesus says, "Whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." When God joins a husband and a wife, He intends for man to keep his nose completely out of it. Now, that's the principle of God. And all the ways to ensure that our marriages can stay together are given to us by God. And if we would take the Bible and list all of these by category and then put a label on that category file, that label would read commitment. If husbands and wives would truly commit to their marriage, would commit to each other as God has designed it to be, we would in one generation put all of the divorce courts completely off of the map. Now, in our Ephesians text, Paul gives words of instruction to both husbands and wives. We read the instructions to wives just a moment ago. He also gives instructions to husbands. In fact, he gives a whole lot more instructions than he does to wives, verses 25 through 33. Also, in our text that Peter writes, as we'll be discussing in a moment or two, he also gives instructions to husbands and wives. He gives 7 verses of instructions to wives and only 1 verse to husbands. And later in our discussion, we'll realize why so much more instruction was given to Christian wives than was to husbands. But brethren, again, the overall concept was penned by the Apostle Paul, inspired by God. Verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, Paul and Peter both show that husbands have responsibilities as husbands. And wives also have responsibility as wives. And part of the responsibility of a wife is submission. Now, let me tell you again the advice my dad gave me. This is not me speaking. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. And as Paul would later write, "Am I become your enemy for telling you the truth?" Now, Jesus said we can know the truth. And it is the truth and only the truth that will make us free. He also identified the truth. John 17, 17. "Sanctify or set my people apart by the truth. Thy word," God's word, "is truth." Now, it is God's plan for the wife not to be so self-centered that she demands her own way. Now, let me go ahead and continue the thought. That's not God's plan for the husband either. But God has written instruction that wives are to be submissive to their husbands. They are to follow their husband's lead. Now, if they do, Paul says they are glorifying Christ. And if they do, Peter says, they can win their non-Christian husband to Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. Winning souls for the Lord. Now, Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And Peter says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing hidden here. There's no fine print in this contract. There's not a hidden agenda here. Now, some people in the world might say, yes, but that's not politically correct. Well, by their definition, it's not. It might not be politically correct, but brethren, as we are seeing and as we will continue to see, it is certainly scripturally correct. Now, I dare say if you went to one of the major bookstores, B. Dalton's or Walden Books or one of these, if you went to the major bookstores and you looked at their top 10 books, I dare say there would not be a single book that even implies the things that we're talking about today. Instead, there would be books about how to build ourselves up and how we can be our own self. And there probably would be books on women's lib. There would not be any books on submission. But I dare say there wouldn't be any books probably in the entire bookstore that deal with the authority of God either. And really, that's the core to this discussion, the authority of God. All Scripture is given by God. It is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and that's not talking about only men, that's talking about all Christians, that Christians might have the complete will of God, and that we can be perfect or completely furnished unto every good word. Brethren, God calls for wives to be in submission. He calls for the husbands to take the responsibility of being the leader of the home. And when a wife submits to her husband's authority, his God-given authority, then she is showing to the world that she respects the Word of God and that she will comply with her reverence to Christ. Also, it shows her trust in God's plans. Brothers and sisters, if a husband refuses to lead his family, and if a wife refuses to submit to the authority of the husband as leader of the family, then how can either say that they trust God? And if they don't trust God concerning their home life, how can they say they trust God concerning salvation? You know, if God has tried to mislead us here, if God has lied to us here about husband-wife relationships, then how do we know He has not lied to us about salvation, about heaven, about hell? Brethren, all Scripture is given by God, and it is to our profit to know what the Scripture says. Now, I've never been a wife. I'm not making plans on ever being a wife. And if you are a wife in the audience, and this is going to be pretty delicate, Jerry. If you're a wife in the audience, I want you for just a moment, now notice what I'm saying, for just a moment, disassociate yourself from your marriage. Disassociate yourself from your marriage and look at your marriage not as a participant, but as an observer. Disassociate yourself and see your marriage as the world sees your marriage, as your neighbors see your marriage, as your children see your marriage, even as your husband sees your marriage. Does the part that you play in your marriage build up? Or does it tear down? Does it strain? Or does it soothe? Now, let's temporarily disavow that. Let's make sure our marriages stay together. I don't want anyone to go and say, well, the preacher at that lectureship said, I can disassociate my marriage. I can dissolve my marriage. I certainly didn't say that. But what did you see? And husbands, if we do the same thing, what do we see? Do we see the leader that God wants us to be? Wives, do you see yourself submitting to the authority your husband has in the home? Now, we better move on before some of the ladies start throwing things at me this morning. Brethren, why is a wife to be submissive? What is God's motive for inspiring Paul and inspiring Peter to write this information? Well, Paul tells us why, among other reasons. Because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Brethren, God intends for the husband to assume the leadership responsibility of the home. Now, God doesn't say that a husband can necessarily do a better job. But God does say that it is the husband's job. Now, there are many people who become offended at this teaching. There are many people who get their feelings hurt at this teaching. There have even been people who have left the church because of this teaching. But brethren, the teaching is still there. The husband is the head of the wife. Maybe it's because of that word, head. The husband is the head of the wife. But if you would run a research on this word head, you would see that the word does not mean dictator. It means manager. It doesn't mean a slave owner. It means it's someone that makes sure the things get done that need to be done. Maybe he doesn't even do it himself, but he makes sure that the home is run as God wants it to be run. Brethren, there's the very bottom line of our discussion. God is interested in homes. He wants the husband to assume his responsibility, the wife to assume her responsibility, so that they together as husband and wife can make sure the children assume the responsibility that God has for them. Brethren, let's suppose Congress passed a law, and as crazy as some of the laws that Congress passes, this might not be far beyond our imagination. Let's say that Congress passes a law that eliminates law, especially concerning traveling. My dad and I were traveling down the coast this morning, and we got into a nice flow of traffic, and everything went so well. But let's say that Congress passed a law that removed all law. No more speed limits, no more traffic signs, no more stop signs, no more highway patrolmen to make sure we're doing things right. A law that says when you're in your car, you can literally do anything you want to do and everything you want to do. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid to get in my car and drive down the street. And I certainly would be afraid to let my children get in a car and ride or drive down the street. We would be in chaos. And we know what follows chaos. Anarchy. We would have people beefing up their cars and their trucks and putting armor plate on them and all of these things. And literally they would take over the highway. Well, brethren, God has always wanted leadership. He wants leadership in society. He wants leadership in government. He wants leadership in the church. And he also wants leadership in the home. And he has made the husband the head of the home. And he has told wives to submit to that authority. Now, that's what submission means. Let's see what submission does not mean. Submission does not mean that the husband is superior and the wife is inferior. Not at all. Genesis 1 verse 27, male and female, God created them. Brethren, men and women are both created in the image of God. Paul says in Galatians 3:28 that we are all one in Christ. In other words, a man is just as precious as a woman, and a woman is just as precious as a man in God's sight. So, submission does not mean inferiority. Number two, submission is necessary for the survival of a home. Brethren, it is only when a husband accepts his role in the home and a wife accepts her role in a home that true joy is found in that home. Number three, if a wife fails to submit to the authority of her husband in the home, she forces her husband into a role that God never intended for him to be in. If a husband has to fight for the authority he has in the home, he might become that dictator that we were talking about a moment ago. Now also let me say this. That is not God's plan. Neither is it God's plan for the husband to be a mealy-mouthed milquetoast either. The husband has to accept the responsibility of leadership, and for him to do that, the wife has to accept her responsibility as well. Number four, submission does not mean blind obedience. Brethren, God is not talking about slavery here. And yet I've seen almost as many men trying to treat their wives as slaves as I have seen men trying to love their wives as Christ loves the church. A man has no right to abuse any woman, any person. He especially has no right to abuse his wife. He cannot make her accept abuse at any point. Mental abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. And he won't if he loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Brethren, those of you who are husbands, that is the most awesome filled verse I have ever read. You are to love your wife, and I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, we will not expect them to accept any abuse from our hands. Number five, submission does not mean... Now listen closely. Submission does not mean that the wife cannot share in the decision-making for the home or in the discipline that's required in the home. I mentioned a moment ago in my introduction, I've been married for 25 years. Brethren, I will admit, especially since my wife is not here this morning, I will admit I would be lost without my wife supporting me and helping me making decisions for my home. Jerry said, I have three wonderful children. He hasn't seen my children in a number of years. It's difficult to be a father. And if you don't have the mother's insight and the mother's compassion and the mother's experience, it's going to be even more difficult raising teenage children in this evil, evil society in which we live. But when the final decision must be made, it's the husband's responsibility to make that decision. And he will bear the weight of the decision that he makes. Now, admittedly, most decisions can be mutual decisions. But when a final decision needs to be made, he must bear the weight of that decision. Now let's turn our attention to our other text, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. In my study, I can't remember who said this, but someone I think very aptly said, it would be difficult to find a more interesting chapter to study than 1 Peter chapter 3. I know that cannot be proven, but once you've studied 1 Peter chapter 3, it certainly bears merit. This is a chapter that is of particular interest to Christians today because it is so timely for Christians today. It's almost as if Peter was writing yesterday telling us what to do today. It gets right down where we live. Now remember, before I read this verse, the reason why Peter wrote and to whom Peter wrote. He wrote to Christians because they were suffering persecution. They were suffering tribulation. They were suffering trials and oppression. And Peter says, in essence, I wish I could tell you that persecution time is almost over, but it's not. Therefore, he says, remain faithful to the Lord during all of this, and God will protect you in the end. Now, with that as backdrop, Peter writes, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, brethren, we cannot deny the fact that Peter is much, much more specific in his writing than the Apostle Paul was. Peter is writing specifically to Christian wives who are married to non-Christian husbands. And the case is the same, whether we're talking about Ephesians 5 or 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter commands the wife to be submissive. And the reason she is to be submissive is because her husband will see her trusting God and might be won for the cause of Christ. And again, that's what it's all about, winning souls for Christ. Brother Guyon Woods said it this way, the silent eloquence of her chaste life is much more effective than rigorous debate. In other words, Christianity is sometimes better seen than debated. Isn't that what Jesus said in what we call the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we didn't read verse 7, but let's get down to verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Peter says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto..." Sisters, let me pause right here for a moment and say this. I love you. I have always had a deep appreciation for Christian women. My wife is a Christian woman. My mother is a Christian woman. Let me continue reading. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." Again, I want to thank Jerry for this assignment. This is a wonderful, wonderful text. Brethren, one of the great marks of Christianity is consistency. In fact, one of the irrefutable proofs that the Bible is inspired is seen in its consistency. We know, for instance, that children have a responsibility to their parents, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. And at the same time, parents have a responsibility to their children, verse 4. We know that slaves have a responsibility to their masters, 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. And at the same time, masters have a responsibility to their slaves, Ephesians 6, 6 through 9. Peter says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge." Now, what knowledge would Peter be talking about? Brethren, I believe this knowledge is twofold. First, it's the knowledge that God has given specific instructions concerning submission to wives. And second, it's the knowledge of the love that a Christian husband is to have for his wife. The love that he is to have for her, though she is the weaker vessel. And because she is the weaker vessel. Now, brethren, we certainly know the wife is not a weaker vessel spiritually. You look at almost every congregation that is in the brotherhood, and you're going to see stronger Christian women by number than you're going to see strong Christian men. So he's not talking about spiritually. He's not saying a wife is a weaker vessel intellectually. If you look at the IQ test results, you see that women are actually stronger mentally than men. We try to keep that real quiet though, so don't spread that around. Nor is she the weaker vessel morally, but she is a weaker vessel physically. And among other reasons, that's why God gave the leadership of the home to the husband, so that if a physical presence comes, a physical danger comes, the husband has the responsibility of aligning himself between that danger and his wife, between that presence and his home. So that's what it means by being a weaker vessel. Peter goes on to add that the husband and wife are heirs together in the grace of life. Brethren, if God did not feel so strongly about husband-wife relationships, He would not have had the Apostle Paul write the things that he did. Now, hundreds of years later, some religious women are saying that Paul was a chauvinist. No, Paul was not a chauvinist. He was an inspired penman. Paul wouldn't have compared the relationship of a husband and a wife to the relationship of Christ and the church, unless this was vital and important. And what we are talking about here is vital, because what we're talking about is the strength of the home. And you interview elders across the brotherhood, and they'll be the first to admit that the stronger the homes are within the congregation, the stronger the congregation is going to be. Now, men, we need to show the world. We need to show our families. We need to show the congregation that we love our wives, even to the extent that as Christ gave everything up for His wife, we are willing to do the same. How do we do that? By accepting the God-given responsibility that the Father has placed upon us. Our leadership in our homes stems from love and nothing else. And if we husbands are leading our homes based on something other than love, then brothers, we don't deserve to have the home as God would have it. Remember, Christ gave everything to His bride. He gave everything to the church. He held nothing back. This is a responsibility that husbands have, and I pray that God will help us in this. Wives, you also have an opportunity to show to the world how much you love Christ by accepting Him and accepting His plan for the home. Your submission to your husband doesn't mean anything except that you love and respect God and God's Word. It doesn't mean you are inferior. It doesn't mean anything except that you are a God-fearing, God-loving, God-respecting woman who happens also to be a wife. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and let me read it this way, and in us all. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, a man and a woman had just gotten married. They got into a horse-drawn carriage to go on their honeymoon. They had gone several miles toward the next town, and the horse bolted and became out of control. Well, the husband finally got the horse under control, and when he did, he set the brake on the carriage, got out of the carriage, walked around, got right in that horse's face, and said, "That's one." Well, he got back in, and they continued down the road. Well, a few miles later, the horse did the same thing, and this time when he got it under control, he walked around in front of the horse and said, "That's two." Well, he got back in, and they went some more. A third time, the horse bolted. This time, when the husband got control of the carriage, he got around and said, "That's three." He pulled out his gun and shot the horse right between the eyes. Well, as he was helping his wife get out of the carriage, because now they're going to have to walk into town, she slapped him on the arm, and she said, "John, why did you do that to that horse?" And he got right in her face and said, "That's one." Now, brethren, that indeed is not God's plan for the home. His plan is for the husband to be the head of the house, for his husband to be the head of the wife, just like and with the same attitude and compassion that Christ is the head of the church. His plan is for the husband to shower his wife with love, to shower his wife with compassion, because Christ showers the church with His blessings. It is also His plan for the wife to submit to the leadership role that God has placed upon her man, thereby showing her love for her husband and also her respect for God. And may God bless every one of us as we accept these responsibilities. Thank you very much.